FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Got a couple of lovely people just joined us for an afternoon session, a conversation, and it's going to be quite a serious conversation because it is a serious topic. But hopefully there'll be some positives at the end of it. First of all, we got Paul Saville from...
from the Isle of Wight Youth Trust.
And you've moved around because weren't you a policeman as well?
A long time ago now. It's nice that I'm still here.
Do you remember me?
I don't remember you. Yeah.
And then you weren't you somewhere else?
So I came here and talked to them about citizens advice and advice
information
and guidance. And I've taken some of that stuff now into what we do at the Isle of Wight Youth Trust.
Excellent. Well, with what you've just said, you're the perfect person for the job, aren't you? With your background,
I'd like
everything.
To think that.
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm sure that's whoever interviewed you. We give him the job. Perfect. How long have you been doing this now?
So nearly 3 years at the Youth Trust now.
Enjoyable?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a lovely place to work at, just the team and everything that's around us, but also the knowledge that we're doing so much good for the island.
And not only that, you've got to be a real special person because you've got to want to do it, haven't you? You've really got to want to help people.
Yeah, there's no point coming in there and you've got to leave all your judgments and everything outside, yeah. And because people are coming with you with all sorts of problems and issues, and absolutely, but we're there to support and help them through whatever's going on.
Okay, we've got Dana. It's Dana, isn't it? Got that right.
Correct. Good afternoon.
How are you? You all right?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting us on today. This is a really great opportunity, and we really appreciate your support.
I honestly, it's what we do, and it's a pleasure to do it. The reason why I invited you in because you sent me a press release that was really quite alarming, hard hitting, and to the point where I thought, well, hang on a minute, we've got to talk about this, plus we've got to offer ways of how to help. We as a radio station, as a training school, we can help, and more importantly, our people out there might also want to be able to sort of assist with what's going on. So the headline was, there's been a massive spike in young people's mental health. So you should take it up from here.
Every other year we do our mental health census. So we get young people from aged 8 to 25 to fill out a series of questions. And we do it through the schools, colleges and just young people that we come across. And we had 1,760 young people fill out the questions, which is amazing because some national surveys don't get that sort of... engagement, and that's given us a lot of detail about what young people are going through on the island, and some of the headlines from it for us where there's still a lot of bullying and stuff going on at school. So even if they haven't been the victim of bullying, then they've witnessed stuff going on, so that impacts on what's happening. There's a lot of feelings of isolation, certainly as they start getting older. So we found the lower age groups would say more than 90% of them had a trusted adult they knew they could go and talk to, so that be it at school. But then as they get older, that starts to diminish, and it became a sort of 60%. So that meant nearly one in three of our sort of teenagers or older teenagers, young adults, didn't have anyone to go and talk to, and that felt that was quite a sort of despairing thing to go, oh no, that's just not right.
Yeah.
Everyone needs, we all need people to go and talk to. Now that's something that the Youth Trust can offer to a certain extent, but then there are lots and lots of groups on the island who offer amazing activities for young people, or just places for people to come together and have a natter, because that whole thing about connecting is so important. So that's something we'll promote. So whilst you might say you can come to us, we do have drop-ins and stuff at the Youth Trust, but actually right across the island there's lots of little networks going on.
Okay.
But that's something that could be improved, though.
How bad, when we talk about mental health, and some people might say, oh, mental health, deal with it. But when it gets to the point where lives are threatened how bad is that? And how do we manage that, but also how do we measure it as well? Because who's going to be honest enough? I mean, I would imagine there's lots of kids out there that have thought about taking their own life, or life is a real struggle, and they don't really want to talk about it. So how do we do something about it? How do we measure it as well?
You can go to surveys. So, our census said about 31% of the young people that are taking part had either hurt themselves or thought about taking their own life. So that's a huge, huge number. And that can be thinking it through. So any of us will be on some sort of continuum at any one time. You can be having really bad days, you can be having really good days, you know, and we all move around that different aspect. So you, and what we try and promote is the fact that, you know, when you're feeling down, it's a bit like the weather, it can change quite quickly, and you will recover. You know what I mean? You try and make sure that there's this understanding of hope. You can have a bad day, but actually in most cases, it will get better, you know, whatever it is.
So at the Youth Trust, we do recognise these concerning trends, but we do believe that no young person should face these challenges alone. And that's where the Youth Trust comes in to be there for these young people.
It's great that you are. It really is, because I know, I mean, we can just assume how bad things are because, you know, I think there's a lot of grown-ups that are going through the same thing. Yeah. It's harder for a young person because they're still finding their selves. They're finding out who can they trust, who can they go to and talk to, and so on. And like you say, in some cases, loneliness is a big problem. So, I mean, how do we really combat that? I mean, do we find out what really is going on, and then make the adjustments to our lives? I mean, just say, for instance, we've just had a conversation with a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 24-year-old, and they were all totally behind getting rid of social media, or at least raising the age to 16, maybe 18. So, because that makes takes a huge impact on their life, and now they've taken that as a child being on social media and stuff, they've taken that a little bit older, and they can tell you that is one of the major reasons, the major factors why they feel the way that they feel. So, are we ever going to do something that it's not just a right quick fix, and not so much a quick fix, but try and make people feel happy? Or are we going to go back to the root of the problem and say, right, this is how we're going to deal with it now? I know there's not ever going to be a quick fix, but we've got to go back and say, why is this happening? As opposed to, right, we're going to put all these things on for you, but why is this happening? And I guess if we understand why it's happening, we can prevent it.
The whole thing about social media is it just never switches off. So it's following in you. You know, if you used to have a bad day at school, by the time you got home, that was it. It wasn't following you back home. Now, of course, it does, you know, and it'll follow them right into their bedroom. It's on that device. and that's the key thing. So it just never stops. How do you make it pause? So I think that's one of the clear messages that you'd look at about if you're going to make younger people not access it. At the same time, there are some positives to it. So we talk about isolation and loneliness. Actually, if you're in a WhatsApp group and you trust everyone in that WhatsApp group, and you know someone's in Chao and someone else is in Bryston, you just can't get together, then actually that's a great way of chatting. So it's hard to say that social media is a complete demon. It's actually how you use it is the key thing. And I think what we've struggled to do is actually teach young people this was the safe way to do it, because we tend to be in a world now where parents wrap cotton wool around the children, and they're worried about them going out to the park or going out on their own and everything. And yet somehow we miss that when they were coming home, they were going on to a device that basically had the whole entire world on it,
yeah,
a completely unfiltered world in many cases. And it just wasn't policed and controlled. So that's the thing that we've got to learn. So there's an element of, yeah, I think big bodies can do something, but we need to learn the skills on how to use it in a positive way.
There is also the concerns that if you outright ban social media, it will be just driven underground and be even more sort of unregulated. If you were to put the age of 16 on there, and you've also got kind of like a cliff edge, it's described, of where all of a sudden they're going to be exposed to that world. So I'm not 100% sure on where the balance is of where we can get this right, but I feel something does need to be done.
So come on, Dana, I'm going to give you the power, okay? If you could work out a plan and say, right, I'm going to get all of the major companies that are involved, and I'm now going to write the rules so that we can put things in place to safeguard our youngsters, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it will improve their mental health as they get older and take that into adulthood. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it?
I just feel that everyone just needs to work together and keep working towards the same vision of like raising our young people to be the best that they can be, to help them reach their full potential. And I'm sure there's a variety of methods that we can all jump on board with and help make that happen for them, because they really do deserve it. Young people, we have a duty as adults, corporations, society, to care for our young and to give them the best chance in life. And that's why me and Paul and people at the Youth Trust, we're all working towards doing that on a daily basis from the ground up.
And good for you. And I mean, it's fantastic that that there are people like yourselves out there. And I say it's just it's lucky that they're out there as well, because you know young kids are really. I mean, I have this saying: it ain't their fault. We live in a world that was mucked up by grown-ups, not kids. So we owe it to them, like you say, we owe it to them to put it right and make sure that they get the best start possible. But I say, certain people have to, you know, take some kind of responsibility. I mean, one of the things that was mentioned this morning, that there are dating apps for young people, like really, really young people. And you think, how is that allowed to happen? And that is going to be damaging. That's got to be damaging, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like any channel. You know, you open a new road, whatever it is, people will start using it. And so it's no good saying, oh, you can't go down that shortcut, because people will start using that shortcut. It's just human nature, isn't it? So there are definitely some things that need to be policed with a small p much better by the tech that's creating this stuff. And the thing is, we're in a world that is changing so quickly that as fast as you create regs and stuff, someone's just developed something new that was never thought of before. That's just the innovative way, you know, life that we're in now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are right, but I still think it comes back to it's how we use those things. So actually, if we've kitted out and given the right tools to our children and young people in the first place, that they recognise something, just like we were taught to not talk to strangers, you know, or how to cross the road, we need to have exactly those same sort of processes. And, you know, just those little plans in the head to go, when I see this, I know what to do.
Yeah.
And we haven't done that, because social media just came in so quickly that we just didn't think about what the perils of it
I think were.
So we need the equivalent, really, of a Green Cross code for the
Do you know what? I was thinking that, but this kind of sums up where we are with the Green Cross code. You will probably remember that to cross the road, you've got to go and find a place away from a parked car to get to cross the road. Yeah. Well, you've got to go out of town for that now, because there's so many blooming cars. So things have changed, and that's what's happening in life itself. Mm. Things are forever changing. We've just got to find a way of putting the right things in place. But the trouble is, when you've got multinational companies that are forever preying on young people, whether it's Facebook, social media, and so on, I just think the way that it's set up is quite. I don't know how they get away with it sometimes. I really don't. And I want somebody to be strong. You know, and it's going to probably take a politician, somebody higher profile, to be strong and say no more. We're not going to do this. We're going to do it right. We need to put things in place so kids are protected. So Facebook is Facebook. We have fun on it. We don't bully people on it. We're not trying to get people to think in a way that they shouldn't be thinking, with putting in little adverts and telling them you should be looking smart like this instead of wearing your jeans like you are. And it's those kind of things. And I think someone's got to be strong and put something in place to make this work. Can't see it happening. So in the meantime, we're left with people like yourselves that have to educate and make sure that they're working with young people. But I'm guessing parents as well, because it's new to them too.
Yeah, and I say it's crept in on all of us. And, you know, we weren't taught how to access. Like I say, you know, we were taught how to cross the road. We've not been taught how to use the internet or social media. You're just suddenly given an app, you'd sign up to it and off you go. And we need the equivalent of pedestrian crossings and, you know, safety. We need all those sort of things put onto the internet so you can go, all right, I can see this is safe. Because that's the problem. There's nothing that sort of gives you a green light to say this is a trusted place that you can go and get information from. this is it, you know, we're not teaching young people how to recognise all this sort of fake stuff that's going on. So it's that. And of course, and that's just building up pressure all the time on the young people. Like I say, it never stops. There's, you know, unless you do sort of take their phone away from them or something and just give them that pause,
yeah,
then that's it, it's not happening. And but there are lots of organisations that do offer all sorts of other activities and stuff where you have to put your phone away and crack on, and lo and behold, the young people are having a great time without having that phone welded to their hand.
It's proven to them that they can have a good time. Hey, look, I mean, it's not just about social media. There's so many other things, and I don't think we can do this in like a 10-15 minute interview. We really can't. But what is the message for young people today? I mean, we're not going to eradicate this overnight. We've got to keep chipping away, and it's people like yourselves that are going to keep chipping away and making a difference, and all of a sudden we'll be somewhere where, you know, it's a little bit more manageable and people are starting to take note with how we're doing things. So, but what is the message today?
I think it's going back to talk to people you trust. that's the key thing. Find people, so that can be your family, it can be people at school, it can be friends. And then when you've got an issue or a challenge, make sure you talk about it. That's the key thing. Don't hold it in, and say, don't necessarily just think, oh, I'll go and ask Google or some AI tool, because all that would do is probably feed your worst fears. Go to people you trust, and they will undoubtedly know how to guide you. And if not, then come to people like us. Come to the Isle of Wight Youth Trust. If you don't want to talk to us direct, we've got a website, all sorts of resources on there. And if we can't help, we're on your little charity on the Isle of Wight. We signpost you to the big organisations that are out there for 24/7 to help. So there is always somebody to talk to.
Okay, just tell us what you do at the Youth Trust. What sort of activities can young people do?
Well, last year we hosted 6,560 one-to-one or group therapy sessions.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's in.
Sorry, did you say 6,000?
Yeah, 560, and that's with our MHST partnership as well. So that's in the schools as well as running with us wellbeing activities. So we do a variety of mental health support. We also do wellbeing activities. We have strong links for employment and housing via our youth hub, which is 16 plus. So people can turn up and we can really help them get into work, education, into secure housing. That's all brilliant work. We've been going for over 40 years as well. So we're a really, really established organisation.
You don't look old enough.
Oh, bless you. And just if I may, like a slightly wider message, as you know, that funding is really, really difficult. And we would just ask, if people are able to support us, please can they, no matter how big or small, every contribution we really, really value, whether it's a quiz night, a donation, becoming a regular donor, signing up to our newsletter, gifts in kind, anything, we're here, and we really appreciate all the support.
Fantastic. And how long have you been doing this yourself?
Me? I've been working for the Youth Trust since June. I'm really pleased, but I ran my own business for a decade previous. I've worked for government ministers, and I've been a community organiser, so varied experience.
Which gives you the most, you know, this is a job that you want to stay at and stick at, or is it a case of, I can't wait to get back and work with those government ministers?
No. For me, it's since becoming a parent, my son, when I look at him, my work, which motivates me every day, is knowing that if he needs the help, he can get the help, and that's what drives me every day. This is my passion, and that's why I work for it.
Fantastic. good for you. It's nice to know that the two people that are, you know, really, really wanting to do it, and it's a vital thing that we're offering here, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, with Paul's background as well, but I've got to, because you're slightly older, I've got to compare what life was like 30 years ago for young people to what it is now. I mean, I said to young people earlier on today, I would not want to be 23 in today's world. I'd go back and be 23 again, but in the time that I was 23 all those years ago. What's the difference that you see most?
I mean, I know I said it before, but it's this constant information overload that's just following them around all the time, and they just got to figure out ways of pausing and chilling out. I went to a sixth form college last Friday, and one of the things we asked them was how they chill out, and they all know exactly what to do. You know, it might be watching their favourite TV programme, listening to music, going for walks, mixing in nature, playing sport. They absolutely just created this huge list of everything And I said, that's your mental health first aid kit there. Those are the things, as long as you can remember to do those things, that is you looking after your mind, looking after that whole point of your mental health. So they've got the skills. It's just sometimes saying to them, this is what it's doing. This is why it's good for you. This is why your well-being will be supported and rounded. And, you know, from it, you'll be a much better person. And it was very rare for them to any of them to say, actually, my phone is the thing that I go to for my well-being. So they've got the tools. It's just making sure. And we've, like you say, we're the grown-ups. We've got to make sure that we give them the space and the time to do those things.
Wonderful. I was just thinking, you going into schools. I mean, years ago, when I was in smaller school, they used to come in and check your teeth and do all those kind of things. And it was great. They took that away, and then people's teeth started falling out. And it's great to know that people are going into schools and actually having conversations with them, because I don't think I had any kind of conversation like that when I was at school.
And that's the key change, I think, for me. You're absolutely right. Certainly when I was at school, no one was talking to us about mental health. Mental health was always something that somebody else had. It was an issue somewhere else. Now that we talk about it, hopefully in the same space as your physical health, you know, they're both as important as each other. That's the societal change that we've seen, so especially since the sort of 2020 and COVID and everything. It's changed the way we talk about it, which is great. So it's far more in the normal day-to-day conversations. What we've got to make sure is that the support and the knowledge is there to then help the people who are saying that they've got problems.
I've said this many times, and I think, should we find a different name for mental health? Because it's off-putting. Like, call it mind health.
I think there's, there's anything. I mean, we talk about mindfulness or, you know, all those sort of things. Anything really that you think is actually going to be soothing. You know, if you cut your finger, you know how to deal with it. You put a bit of pressure on, you find a plaster.
Yeah.
But we just don't have that knowledge about, actually, I am feeling really down today. Who can I talk to? We just don't have that immediate go-to knowledge, and that's what we've got to do. And again, that's the important thing, I think, where grown-ups can step in is, right, let's just try this. And like I said, if you don't know the answer, don't go, I don't know, and leave it. Come and talk to the Youth Trust, look at our website, do whatever it might be, and there's guidance on there about what to do.
Okay, give us the details on the website.
It's www.iowyouthtrust.co.uk. Yep, you can find lots of resources. You can sign up to our mailing list. You can find out so much information on there.
If you're in Newport and you're just wandering by, you can just wander in.
Yeah, you can come and talk. I mean, everyone could be really busy. I don't want to say there's always someone there that's going to go, oh, yes, we can come and talk to us for a while. But certainly come and natter. If you're in that age group, certainly 16 to 25, or if you know someone that's 16 to 25, get them to drop into the youth hub. It's open basically sort of 9 to 4:30 every day. And someone will be there just to go, okay, what is it that you need help with? And if you can't deal with it immediately, make an appointment and sort it out.
Okay. And next year when you send me a press release, it'd be lovely if we get a press release and it's like a lot better news.
You certainly hope so. I mean, there's lots of things on there that we can then say, let's divert our service to do more of that.
And this will be informing the Isle of Wight Youth Trust 2026 strategy, which will set the goals, priorities for the next 5 years to make sure that our resources are being directed where they're most needed.
So fabulous.
Hopefully we'll be back with some
excellent
good progress.
You also sent me a press release yesterday. There's an event, isn't there? You better tell us about that.
That was a supper club, actually, that raised £4,500 for us last week, the charity supper club.
Fantastic
Mark
amount.
Paul Fawley and Mark, brilliant events, really great. Yeah, and we also are involved in Rob the Banks Music Club. Might just give that a little shout out. All that information can be found out on our socials about that if you want to get involved with some like free music sessions.
Fantastic. Yeah,
that's the good positive side of social media is follow the Isle of Wight Youth Trust.
That's it.
you get all sorts of great links.
There is some positives about social media, of course there is. But there's a whole load of negatives. So we just need to find a way to make it work. Thank you both. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Dana, for coming in.
And
thank you so much.
Hopefully you're going to come back again soon and give us an update.
It's been great fun.
With some good news.